Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska!
Come on, Robin, to the Batcave. We haven't one moment to lose.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, Feb 17, 2022, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi. Hello. How you doing? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Why was I so cute just then? I don't know why I was doing the cute voice. Day 395 of the Biden-Harris administration, 264 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. And look, sitting right over there, it's the Goth Ninjas. Yeah. As always, every Thursday, Jody Hamilton from the Bunker podcast, from the-bunker.com, also at patreon.com/from the bunker, and David Ferguson, we call him T-Rex.
Hi.
His music project, hi, is Astral Summer, astralsummer.bandcamp.com. Links in the description under this episode at bobseska.com. Get clicking. Why aren't you clicking yet? And you know what? Actually, speaking of clicking, on our Patreon page right now, it's happening right now, culminating in tomorrow's after party. Kimberly and I are doing another Ask Us Anything show tomorrow for the after party. So if you're a subscriber on our Patreon page, bobseskashow.com, you can submit your questions, but the only way you can hear our answers is if you sign up at the $10 a month after party shadow docket level. So if you're not there, get going. What are you waiting for? Don't miss out. All right,
Bob? I've got a question.
Yeah.
I'm going to pre-submit this. When are you guys getting some more cats?
You know what? Someone asked that question. So that was one of the first questions that was posted on the thread on our Patreon page. And the answer is, I don't know.
We want some little nieces and nephews to care I know. For, just so you can go through what I'm going through right now.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah. You know what? That's
Do
a
you
really
hear the background noise here, the howling and the thumping and the scratching.
They want to be on the show. That's exactly what's going on. They want to be
go get her.
Goth
Hang
ninjas.
On.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm not going to answer the question specifically until tomorrow. And I think Kimberly has more insight in terms of our
well,
kitty
I know
cat
she wants
situation.
One. At least one.
She definitely does, but it's ultimately her choice. And so
can you hear this?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, meet Pippa.
Hi, Pippa.
Was that her?
That's
she just made
so cute.
It's kind of like a baby Yoda voice.
It was very Grogu.
Yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
Cute.
That's her. All you 17 know, and a half pounds of her.
Wow.
If she could read
She's a
prompter.
She's a bowling ball with fur, basically.
Yeah. If she could read a prompter, she could fill in for Rachel for a week. Yeah. I mean, you know what? Alex Wagner is doing a great job. I got a text last night from Buzz Burbank saying, oh, my God, Alex Wagner is amazing. Filling
She's
in for...
doing a great job.
Yeah. And so
we watch religiously. 9 o'clock every night, Ben and I are on the sofa eating dinner, watching Rachel.
Yeah.
So, like, we've been just in the habit. And, you know, Ali Velshi is good, but Alex Wagner has something, there's just something kind of compelling about her.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, she has kind of a feline face. I just want to, like, reach to the screen and, like, hug her and pet
She's
her
the best.
And call her George.
And like, I say Alex Wagner is the best, and that's mainly because when she was on during the daytime on MSNBC, she used to promote my work all the time. So it's like,
well,
every
that's
time,
really all that matters.
Yeah, that's all that matters. Yeah. That's my only criteria. Well, Alex Wagner, she's definitely a good person because she was sharing my work. It works out so well for me that Alex Wagner is on in prime time now. And she's got that same gift for turning, you know, a prompter into conversational, very relaxed storytelling, which is Rachel Maddow's superpower.
It always feels like, yeah, Rachel's just telling you these stories of, you know, she's like, let me tell you about the Green Barrel Gang, Donnybrook, of 1926. And how this pertains to Donald Trump. And then, like, you know, she'll bring this expert on, and she's like, did I miss anything in the lead up to this? And the expert's like, I've never heard that succinct an explanation of the Green Barrel Gang, Donnybrook, of 1926.
Is that a real thing? Is the Green Barrel Donnybrook? Is that a real place?
Just making that up.
You just made that up. Oh, my God. Because that could so totally be like a 1920s scandal, right? But yeah. The thing that I always talk about with Rachel Maddow, there was one time she did that storytelling device that she does where she starts out at one place and ends up at someplace completely different. The one that I always repeat is when she started out at the top of her A block talking about Carnival cruises and how you can take a Carnival cruise to Alaska. And that was the beginning of it. It was all about Carnival. Of course, there was B-roll of Carnival cruise ships and so on, you know, seeing the glaciers and all that crap. And then she ended it. This is what she was leading up to with the Carnival cruise kickoff. She ended it with, Bill Kristol is always wrong. That was like, she went from Carnival cruise to lead up to the observation that Bill Kristol is always wrong about politics. This, of course, is before Trump, when Bill Kristol was actually not always wrong, where he's correct about Donald Trump, at least.
Right.
Well, here's my take on cruise ships, going on a cruise as part of a vacation. Here's how you can duplicate that experience. You can go to a regular, shitty, two-star hotel and then go to, like, an old country buffet. And then you have the full cruise experience. If they were to take those two things and put them on
except
the water.
You can't leave the old country buffet or the two-star hotel.
Exactly.
And all of the people there you're stuck with for the duration.
That's exactly right. You're imprisoned inside the old country buffet, except there's water
and
all
then you've
got
to get the norovirus to really top it off. You've got to be exploding like vomit and diarrhea. Like
salmonella, E. coli. COVID, all the rest of it. Yeah. But that's like a new thing now is to do these rock concerts on cruises. I know Yes did them. Hal Sparks was just at one where I think Winger performed on the cruise.
Oh, yeah. My friends are on that cruise right now. My Faster Pussycat's on.
And then I think Hal performed a song with Winger on stage.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think they're officially Nerd Halen.
They are Nerd Halen. Exactly.
Oh my
exactly
God, Nerd Halen is so goddamn good. If you haven't seen Hal Sparks' fun cover band project called Nerd Halen, go to YouTube, search for Nerd Halen, and check it out. They're actually pretty damn amazing. I mean, obviously Hal does a great job on lead vocals, but the guitar player nails all of Van Halen guitar parts. All right, so we
I think I had a thunderstruck realization today that Huey Lewis and David Lee Roth are basically the same guy at different points in the whiskey and coke thing.
It could be,
like,
yeah.
You know,
we just did a whole Rachel Maddow A block just now. We went from your cat Pippa all the way to Huey Lewis and David Lee Roth are the same person. So that is pretty outstanding. We just illustrated
David Lee Roth is Huey Lewis, coke to the nines, and wasted. You're drunk.
By the way, once again, ask us anything on the Patreon page happening right now, and we'll do all the answers on the after party tomorrow, BobSeskaShow.com. All right, so let's dig into more of this Mazar's story. This gets better and better and better. Fully illustrating.
Oh,
yeah, fully illustrating.
Such an own goal.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. My theory that Trump always makes things worse for Trump. And this is the latest development in all of this. Mazars, those of you who don't know, Mazars was Trump's accounting firm. They dropped him on Valentine's Day.
I know. They broke up with him on Love Day.
Yeah, totally broke up. And then they said all of those financial statements for the Trump organization can't be relied on anymore. No longer valid because
retroactively canceled.
Yes, right. The numbers in them are probably wrong. That was kind of the takeaway for that one. So what's happened since then is obviously Donald Trump has thrown a five-page tantrum.
My business has the best branding and the best concepts and the most fantastic assets. Here's the numbers.
It's
and this is after like a week and a half of his attorneys pleading in court to Tish James that like, oh, the Trump family, they don't really know the numbers.
They don't know anything.
Right. Yeah.
They're not involved on that level. That's accountants only. They're purely blameless, you know, white little snowy sheep.
Yeah.
Just innocently maligned, you know, they just really, and like, and you know, Ivanka's like, I don't know anything about those deals. It's like, you're listed as the head negotiator.
Yeah.
NBC News writes here, the former president's five-page statement got into detail about possible discrepancies, implying that he had more knowledge than his lawyers said, calling the investigation a political and racist attack, claiming Mazars had essentially been forced to resign, and defending the financial statements.
Wait, racist?
Yeah, well, because Letitia James is black and Trump is white. Mm-hmm. So Letitia James is, according to Trump, being racist against Trump as a white guy. He was saying the same thing about Fannie Willis in Fulton County. It's a racist attack against him.
He says it about Letitia James.
Yeah, and this is more of Donald Trump not understanding the definition of words, right? He doesn't understand the definition of the word racism. And so he thinks that it can go the other way. He thinks the 70%.
He just can't believe these black women are coming after him.
Yeah, why are these black women oppressing the 70% of the population that are white people? Quote, remember when the attorney general and or district attorney said they think my financial statements may be high? I don't even include these branding numbers in them, which is far more than any discrepancy they may have, Trump wrote. So basically, because you can't put in the business valuation what you think your brand is worth. That's not an actual financial asset. You can't quantify that in dollar figures. So Mazars said, well, no, you can't include that as part of the financial statements. And so instead, what he did, and this is his explanation, of course it's all bullshit to make an excuse for why he was artificially inflating his assets, he went ahead and added in some cases 30% onto his valuations to, in his words, make up for the inability to add his brand value in his financial statements. And that's how he's explaining these massive disparities between, you know, one statement versus another statement, one valuation on one document versus a valuation on another document. So this is Donald Trump digging a hole deeper and deeper for himself, at, right on the heels, as you were saying, David, right on the heels of his lawyers explaining, oh, they don't know nothing. The Trumps, they have no idea what the numbers actually are. And then Trump's like, yes, I know all the numbers. Look at here. And then he releases the document, the Mazars document, that if you have an accountant, everyone who hires an accountant has to sign one of these documents. I've signed one of these documents that says the numbers that you give us are your responsibility.
Yep.
We, as your accountant, are only taking the numbers that you give us and plugging them into these forms.
Right.
And Donald Trump goes ahead and releases that in order to prove some other point. But Donald Trump always makes things worse for Donald Trump.
Is he still a free man, though?
The prosecutors are just downloading his statements from the office of the president. They're just downloading them. Like, oh, more evidence.
Exactly right.
Thank you so much for just giving us. We don't even need to ask for discovery in the civil lawsuit. Boom, we're getting it. I mean.
Well, this is what's driving me nuts, Jody, is the fact that Donald Trump is out there on a weekly basis, in some cases a daily basis, confessing to his crimes, blabbing them on his rally stages and releasing statements in which he exposes his lies flagrantly. I mean, it's not like, okay, well, if you interpret it, if you close one eye and look at it in a weird way, then it kind of looks like he's, you know, confessing. But that's not the case. He is literally confessing. And yet at the same time, our Department of Justice and U.S. Attorney John Durham is relitigating Hillary Clinton right now.
Oh, okay, well, as far as the John Durham thing is, we cannot fire him because that's what the right wing wants.
Yeah.
So he's got to keep doing that bullshit, and he'll just dig himself, you know, into stupidity.
Absolutely.
But let me read a tweet that Glenn Kirshner said this morning. He said, a lot of people are frustrated at the perceived lack of Department of Justice progress towards holding Trump and his criminal cabal accountable mm-hmm. for their crimes. He said, I once worked covertly on a case for 2 years while a highly regarded Washington Post columnist said we were not pursuing justice. So I think Kirshner has, because he's getting less Veruca Salty than he was, say, a month ago.
Interesting.
Do you think somebody whispered in his ear?
Well, I mean, he's an ex-DOJ official. I think he's got some information, not just his own background, but his tone has changed.
This now is entering a new phase, I believe, between Mazars and this ridiculousness with John Durham. In fact, I was speaking with Allison Gill from Mueller, She Wrote and the Daily mm-hmm. Beans podcast on my show yesterday. And which, by the way, you should all listen to. Amazing.
Oh, it's great.
Revelations
it's so good.
In there. Yeah. Allison is such a great guest. And her show is amazing. Mueller, She Wrote and the Daily Beans. In fact, I'm going to be on the Daily Beans. We're going to record on Monday. I don't know if it drops on Monday, but we're recording the show on Monday, me and Allison. And so Allison was saying yesterday that she was talking about the John Durham case. And she believes that the Michael Sussman and this is where this new filing right. comes from, in which they accuse Hillary Clinton of spying on Trump or whatever the nonsense is.
Yeah, that was I couldn't. It's hard to follow what they're saying. I mean, if you read the actual thing, it's like, huh? It's a conflict of interest filing.
Right, right. But I mean, suffice to say, she believes that the Michael Sussman case, which is the main thrust of what John Durham is indicting right now, that's going to be thrown out in court. That's not going to make it to full trial because it's so thin. I mean, they're basically accusing Michael Sussman, who was Hillary Clinton campaign's former lawyer or something like that. And they're saying that he lied to the FBI in terms of who he is representing. And in this court filing, which we discussed and talked about in detail on Tuesday's show, John Durham drops this ridiculous bombshell that's got all of, you know, the Red Hat Entertainment Complex freaking their shit all over the place.
I think this is a measure of how panicked they are actually about the Mazars thing that they are furiously trying to kick up sand.
Yeah, yeah.
And make as much noise as possible to distract from, I mean, we keep saying, I feel like the walls are closing in around Trump, but I mean,
yeah, well, there was
I just wish they would close a little faster.
Yeah,
like
no
the trash compactor in Star Wars, you know?
Well, they're closing pretty quickly. I mean, this Mazars thing is going to completely screw Donald Trump with his pants on, at least from a financial point of view. I mean, there are so many downsides to all of this and very few upsides, if any, for Donald Trump's finances, because now he's got to find a new accounting firm to represent him. And who the fuck wants to represent Donald Trump at a time when his finances are under investigation, not just in Albany, but also in Manhattan? So you're going to be stepping into a world of shit if you decide to be hired by Donald Trump. And oh, by the way, bonus, you won't get paid. So there's that on top of the other thing. But I think going back to the Sussman matter and John Durham, I agree with Allison. I think the Sussman case is going to be thrown out. But in the meantime, John Durham has given all kinds of red meat to the Red Hat Entertainment Complex, and there is nothing. It is a big nothing. There is nothing there. And what he basically said was, John Sussman represented this IT company, this cybersecurity company called Neustar, and they were looking into suspicious hits on the White House servers in 2016. You know, while Barack Obama was still president,
right?
And this was in the wake of the Russians hacking the DNC, and then suddenly, as we were discussing on Tuesday's show, suddenly these weird Russian cell phones called Yoda phones. Yoda phones. So these Yoda phones start connecting to the White House servers. And of course, if it's a Russian cell phone, it's also connecting to Yoda servers in Russia. So if you've got data being exchanged between a cell phone and a server at the White House and the cell phone and servers in Russia, you're going to want to look into those numbers, especially in the wake of the fact that Russians hacked the DNC and, for that matter, the RNC and others. That's an urgent matter. So this company, Neustar, was hired to look into that information. And quite frankly, the information that they derived from that investigation was legal to have. But because Sussman represents the IT company, the cybersecurity company, and Sussman also represented Hillary Clinton. This somehow, in John Durham's mind, and certainly in the minds of Fox News hosts and Donald Trump, that means that Hillary Clinton was paying the cybersecurity firm. And there is no evidence whatsoever that that was even going on. And by the way, why the fuck would Hillary Clinton want to investigate Donald Trump after the campaign was over, after the election was over?
Right.
It just didn't happen that way. So I read the filing yesterday as I was writing my piece for The Banter, thebanter.substack.com, which is out right now, in fact. And I was going through Durham's filing, and there's contradictions in there.
Oh, yeah.
There's dead ends. There's incomplete allegations. It's all a bunch of hocus-pocus bullshit. It reminded me, Jody, of some of the shitty reporting that was going on around Edward Snowden and Glenn Greenwald. In fact, a lot of the reporting coming from Glenn Greenwald. Shocker that Glenn Greenwald would be scamming people with his reporting back then. But this is the kind of stuff that I was seeing. Headlines changing surreptitiously to say one thing, to get the word out, to get the falsehood out, and then changing the headline later to cover their ass and so on. These are all sorts of things that have been happening for the last 3 days. So to me, I think, David, you nailed it. I think this is all waving shiny objects to get people to stop talking about the documents, the 15 boxes of documents that Donald Trump stole from the White House, including top secret documents, to get people to stop talking about the fact that Donald Trump could be financially devastated by this Mazar situation. And you know what? The other dimension, real quick, about Mazars. Mazars now is free to cooperate with whatever investigator needs information, because Mazars is no longer beholden to Donald Trump. They're no longer employed by Donald Trump. They're no longer under threat of being fired by Donald Trump because they quit, and now they can really screw Donald Trump.
And there is no accountant client privilege.
That's true. That's true. But this gives them a little bit more leeway, a little bit more wiggle room. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I think it came down to it, and they were like, we can defend ourselves or we can defend this shitty client.
Keep a close eye on both of these stories, because this is where the rubber hits the road, so to speak, when it comes to accountability for Donald Trump. And in fact, contradicting Malcolm Nance a couple of weeks ago, Malcolm thought that the Fannie Willis Fulton County thing would be in last place as far as accountability for Trump. But Allison Gill thought Fulton County was way up there. I mean, if
I
not
think so
the
too.
Most possible indictment of Donald Trump.
I think so, too, because it's the strongest case. I mean, literally, he's on tape.
Yes, yes. But this story with Mazars, the Letitia James investigation, just so much proof at this point. In court, there were in court today with a hearing about compelling Donald Trump Jr., Eric, and I think Ivanka.
That's happening today, isn't it?
Happening right now. Compelling them to be deposed. They were resisting deposition. And so now, I think by the time we finish this show, the justice in that case, the judge, will have a decision on whether or not the Trumps will be compelled to be deposed to Letitia James. So that's all going to be really good. But in this court hearing today, Letitia James's office said about Trump, quote, "It is not unusual for parties to a legal proceeding to disagree about the facts, but it is truly rare for a party to publicly disagree with statements submitted by his own attorneys in a signed pleading, let alone one day after the pleading was filed." That is fucking incredible that is actually going on. It's like they have no blessed clue how to operate. I keep going back to the thing that I've been saying for the last 6 years. They are the dumbest crooks in the history of dumb crooks. I don't know how they've gotten away with it for this long. I guess it's just graft, paying off judges, paying off investigators to get out of this shit.
That's what it was. It had to have been, because, I mean, New York is known for being a little, you know.
It's just so easy to
especially
bait.
For real estate.
Well, this is, he just walks right into the rabbit season, duck season trick every single time.
Just wanted you guys to know that Weisselberg is supposed to give a deposition in the inauguration lawsuit.
Oh, interesting. Well, that's a whole other dimension to all
that
of
just,
this.
That just kind of came down. He has to at least show up for it. He can obviously plead.
Well,
but he's got to show up.
It just
up.
Blows me away that they're mad at this Sussman guy for reportedly lying to the FBI when that was like how they wiped their feet on the welcome mat at the White House.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, with Michael Flynn lying to the FBI. I mean, that's where they kicked off.
Yeah. Well, part of the problem with that was everybody in D.C. knew who his clients had been.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like the FBI didn't know who he worked for.
Yeah. Well,
which is part of the proceedings are going, look, the FBI already knew who he had worked for or was currently working for or had worked for in the past or was probably going to work for because it was just common knowledge. So that the fact that he didn't, quote, disclose it really wouldn't have mattered to them in the first place.
Oh, wait, this just in. I got the documents right here.
Okay. All right, Alex.
See, here. Listen to the documents. I got the documents right here. What happened is today in court, Donald Trump's lawyers said that he's part of a privileged class that should not be subject to this investigation. I don't know why I did that in Alex Jones's voice.
I think that's appropriate. I think it's appropriate.
I had to do the paper, this paper, and that's how I got to Alex Jones. But needless to say, that's what they were saying in court today. That's what Trump's lawyers were saying, that he's part of a privileged class because he's been president. And so, therefore, he gets special dispensation when it comes to depositions.
The shit that he did before he was in office?
That's right. Or the shit that he's done since he was in office, since he left office.
Yeah.
So that's going on right now. And I imagine just from reading some of the early observations from the court proceedings today, there's no way this judge is ruling on Trump's behalf. I could be entirely wrong on this, and this is going to be one of those things that's going to drop right after we're finished recording the show. So, you know, our guess is as good as anyone's at this point. We have no idea. But, I mean, just based on what I was reading, this is not going well for Donald Trump. The judge doesn't appear to be.
They could not have worded that in a more, like, just, you know, like, privileged class. Like the two things that, like, white people really don't want to talk about. Like, I don't know. It was a terrible call.
Yeah, well, one of Trump's lawyers was apparently repeatedly interrupting not just the judge, but also the clerk. And the clerk had to admonish the lawyers to say, stop talking over us. God damn it. And, you know, they're talking about how this is a political witch hunt. This is because Letitia James ran on going after Donald Trump. And the judge kept pushing back and saying, there's a First Amendment in this country. Just because you're running for attorney general of a state doesn't mean you can't express your political point of view. And besides, this investigation has nothing to do with Donald Trump's politics. This has everything to do with his shady finances, his cheating on his taxes, cheating on insurance forms, cheating on loan applications by doing what he always does, changing his status based on what he needs, what he wants, what he desires, the money that he's required. Bear in mind that while Donald Trump has real estate holdings, he is $590 million in the hole to various lenders. And those loans are coming due between now and 2025. I think over $100 million of that is to Deutsche Bank alone. Donald Trump's entire financial status is being held together with like barbed wire and scotch tape.
I mean, if you or I were millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars in debt, we would not be just like, you know, free to stand around pulling our puds. Like,
no.
I don't understand like why he's not in handcuffs.
Yeah. I mean,
I get that he's constantly filing motions and random nonsensical court filings to like, you know, delay things. But Jesus fucking Christ.
Yep. If Donald Trump has to declare bankruptcy, which that's what I'm predicting now, but if he has to do this, it is going to be horrendously painful for him. And that's what I want. I mean, I don't.
Because I think this would be the first time everybody in the country will notice.
Yeah, exactly. But he'll turn it into more grievances and so on. In fact, I was saying on the show
that it's because of all, you know, witch hunt prosecutions and all of his legal fees that he hasn't actually paid.
Right.
But, you know.
Well, the thing is, the reason why some of these banks might not go after Donald Trump for this debt is because they're afraid of his supporters.
You really think Deutsche Bank is afraid of a bunch of MAGAs?
Yeah, you know what?
No.
John Fugelsang said the same damn thing last night to me, and that's a really good point. But you know, who knows?
These they won't even. They don't even. They can't even pronounce Deutsche Bank.
That's true. I mean, they can't spell it either.
And most, you know, and most of the people that Donald Trump has worked with in the past, they're based out of New York City. They don't even know where that is.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Where are they going to go to like ransack a Deutsche Bank?
I mean, you know, they can't go to their local Citibank. They ain't going to go to the local Bank of America. They don't know where these places are.
Yeah.
So those banks aren't afraid. They want their money.
Since when is that even part of an agreement to lend money to someone? You know, you're going to have to pay this money back with interest, but also if you raise a militia or two, you won't have to pay the money back.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen.
No, that's in no universe. Is that the truth? Okay, we're going to come back with more show here in just 1 second. But first, if you're only listening to the free portion of this show on Apple Podcasts and so on, you're only hearing the first hour. There's an additional 20 minutes of show after the end credits roll at the end of every Tuesday and Thursday show. It's all happening on our Patreon page at bobseskashow.com. Of course, I'm talking about the Shadow Docket podcast. It's a completely unfiltered, commercial-free continuation of all the fun and news, and it's only going to cost you pennies per episode. The Shadow Docket drops every Tuesday and Thursday after the free shows, and it's only going to cost you $5 per month, and you'll be supporting this fully independent podcast. And by the way, we're doing Ask Us Anything, as I was saying at the top of the show, on the after party. That's $10 per month. That's a different level. And if you feel saucy right now, go and sign up for the after party level. Don't miss out. Again, that's bobseskashow.com. Bookmark it, send it to all your friends, and we thank you in advance.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
More fun! The Bob Seska Show.
Can we be lovers now? Let go of the past and hunts us down. Can we finally be found in each other's arms above the ground? Can we forget the skin we're in and let our souls live from within?
Oh yeah, this is the War and Treaty. It's a lead track off of their Heartstown album, a song called Yearning. Yeah, thewarandtreaty.com. Link in the description under this episode of bobseska.com.
Yeah, let's hear this chorus.
What's that? Yeah.
Let's hear this chorus.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Oh, it's still going.
This is glorious.
Yeah.
Let me write this down. Who is this again?
This is War and Treaty. That's the name of the band. War and Treaty. Thewarandtreaty.com. I think there's a the at the beginning. Yeah. So goddamn good. Yeah, we debuted their first single off of this album a couple of months ago. And going through the songs today, I was like, oh my God, I gotta get this song Yearning off their Heartstown album. I gotta get this on the show today. And so there it is. Such a great track. BobSeska.com/music to submit your stuff to the show. Thank you for doing that in advance. All right. The 1-6 committee apparently looking at Ivanka now. That'll be the next subpoena
coming
up.
Good. Let's get her. Get her.
And speaking of get her, we've got a story about get her coming up in the Shadow Docket later. Bad news. Bad news for Getter. So they're looking at Ivanka Trump lined up for subpoenas now. They just subpoenaed six different people linked to the fake electors scheme. Mm-hmm. Why the fuck? I mean, it's just amazing that people are still like, yes, let's bring those Republicans back and have them run Congress again. Yeah. We're hearing all these stories. I mean, it's every day there's another story about Republican crimes. I mean, in six different states.
I'm real interested to see how these public hearings before the midterms go. Because a lot, I mean, some of those people are up for re-election. Isn't Jim Jordan up for re-election?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Everybody in the House is.
The entire
everybody
House is up for re-election. Yeah,
every
yeah.
2 years.
Oh, yeah. God, man. Marjorie fucking Potato Head Green has got to go down.
That's up to you.
Yeah, it's.
I'm not in her district, thank God. But, like, I mean.
She may go down in the primary. I don't think she's even going to make it out of her primary. That means, she's still in office. She'd still be in office until January of next year, but she wouldn't be able to run
she
in the
general
election.
She doesn't do anything except tweet and be an asshole.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the House Select Committee investigating the Capitol insurrection is considering issuing a subpoena to Ivanka Trump to force her cooperation with the inquiry into Donald Trump's efforts to return himself to power on 6 January, according to a source familiar with the matter. Any move to subpoena Ivanka Trump and, for the first time, force a member of Trump's own family to testify against him would mark a dramatic escalation in the 6 January inquiry. Obviously, this is from The Guardian because of the date. Mm-hmm. I could tell just by the date. That could amount to a treacherous legal and political moment for the former president. I think Ivanka...
Good!
Yeah, I think Ivanka wants to talk because...
I think so, too.
Because I think she still has ambitions. I mean, she's got another, 40, 50 years of her life to live with the Trump last name.
And she's got children to be worried about. Yeah, and I think she hates her father.
Right. I think she would want to, among all of the kids, I think she would be most likely to testify against her dad, throw her dad under the bus.
Because she's got her own money through her corrupt, horrible, unformed husband.
Yeah, right, right. So
she's made her own money without daddy's money. She's made her own, so she can probably withstand a lot, whereas the brothers can't.
Look, if you want accountability to come out of this 1-6 committee, here's your assignment. Work your ass off so the Democrats can retain their majority in the House of Representatives next year. I mean, the election this year, but they would be sworn in next year. So we got to do this. Otherwise, you know what's going to be formed? The committee to investigate the 1-6 committee.
Right.
That's inevitable. There are going to be people arrested, people involved with looking at Trump Russia, people involved looking at the insurrection. There are going to be arrests made of people who have no business being arrested, who didn't do anything fucking illegal except for being mean to Donald Trump. That's all it takes anymore to have an arrest warrant threatened against you or a threat of lock her up against you is if you're mean to Donald Trump, you better lawyer up.
Yeah.
By the way, Donald Trump's Truth Social website. We saw a screen.
Is that out yet?
No, I think it's in beta testing.
It's in beta testing.
Now.
Yeah.
It drops on Monday, I believe, officially.
Yeah. Well, it totally ripped off Twitter's layout.
I know. Other than the coloring. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Someone posted a screen grab of Donald Trump's first post. I don't know what you would call it. They're probably calling them tweets on Truth Social.
Probably.
Because it looks exactly like Twitter. Exactly.
Except it's pink. The check mark is a pink thing and the unfollow and follower in pink. And it's just whatever. There's really no, I hope Twitter sues.
Right, right. And you know what they're calling them? They're calling them truths. They're not calling them tweets. They're truths. Mm-hmm. So the different tabs.
So wait. Donald Trump tweeted, "Your favorite president is back." Yeah. That's not true.
Get ready. Your favorite president will see you soon!
That's not true. Yeah. He's not my favorite president. So he's already lying.
He's already lying under the truths tab. And then the next tab over is truths and replies. Which, by the way, even on Twitter, that's like the useless tab. That's the tab that no one looks at. At least I don't ever look at the tweets and replies tab. I only ever look at the tweets tab. And then there's another tab that says media. I mean, it's identical. They basically just took the Twitter interface and copied and pasted it, changed a couple of the colors. And that's all
Didn't
it is.
Didn't somebody else already get in trouble for that?
Oh, I'm sure
one of the
that's
other,
already
so, like
before.
Right-wing social media shithead platforms like Don Bongino's ripped off Twitter. I mean,
right. Well, as I said, we're going to be talking about Jason Miller's Getter later on the shadow docket. But this is another case where Donald Trump very clearly is upset about being kicked off of Twitter. So he's inventing his own Twitter. And I use the word inventing. Here's what they do. This is what Donald Trump does. We've all noticed this over the years. He is a huckster of knockoffs. You know, like you go to New York City and they're on the street corner selling knockoff Rolex watches and shit like that, knockoff electronics. It's like the real thing, but it's not. It's a cheap imitation of the real thing. But that's what his Truth Social thing is for Twitter. It's like an exact copy of Twitter's interface, except it sucks. I think they've had all kinds of problems on the back end. They tried software that was proprietary, and then they were told they couldn't use that software, and they had to change the back end of their social media site and so on. Well, the Trumps are thieves. They I tweeted this the other day. They steal the work of others. They crap out cheap copies. They slap a different name on it. Most of the time, it's Trump. And then they claim they invented it. Right? So you can see example after example of that. Melania Trump, twice, not once, but twice, stole Michelle Obama's speeches. Entire passages from Michelle Obama's speeches and passed them off as her own. And I can only imagine that Melania had very little to do with that. Probably someone like her husband or probably someone like Stephen Miller said, who the fuck cares? No one's going to notice. Here, just have this. Take this section of Michelle Obama's speech. Donald Trump's Make America Great Again slogan was ripped off from Ronald Reagan, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. Everything Donald Trump does is a knockoff of something else. Even his real estate business is built upon other people's labor, other people's design savvy, other people's architecture. Someone else goes and builds a building, and then Donald Trump rushes in at the last minute and slaps his fucking name on it, and then he gets paid because his name is on it. He gets a licensing fee because of his name. But then he comports himself as if he's the guy who went out with a hard hat and a shovel and built the thing himself.
Right.
There's no way that's ever happening.
Well, did you guys read this morning about Melania's first NFT sale? Apparently she was the highest bidder.
Hey, can someone explain to me what an NFT is, non-fungible
token? My friend tried to explain it to me the other day. And basically, it's stupid.
It's Amway.
Yes, it's like, okay, so basically, say you had a Superman, the very first Superman comic book, right? Mm-hmm. And you've kept it in pristine condition. If you took a photograph, a digital photograph of the cover, you could sell that for thousands of dollars.
Why would anyone buy that, though?
That's what I was saying. I'm like, why would you? It's like if it's an original piece of art that's only produced digitally and there's only going to be X amount available and it's watermarked or whatever, I can kind of understand that. But like if I take a picture of something that would be worth a lot more money if I actually sold you the actual product.
No. It's a stupid pyramid.
It's like prints. Yeah, it's like buying, if you want to buy a print of a painting, that's going to, and they only made like 10 prints of it. Okay, those 10 prints are worth X amount of dollars. But digital, how can you erase it? That's my question. Is like once it's up there, somebody's going to get it. Somebody can screen grab it. I could go look at, say, the auction site and go capture. It's a thing called grab on my Macintosh. I can just capture it and now I have it.
Right. Right.
You know, her thing was like a picture of her in the hat or some bullshit. And it was like, she was bidding with everybody else. Cause a lot of times in an auction, you want to bid your own stuff to get the bidding up. But apparently, according to this morning's reporting, she was the last one to bid on it.
so ridiculous. So utterly sad.
Sad. So sad.
It is really sad. Oh God.
Yeah. But there, it's a weird, like Bitcoin is strange to me, but I sort of understand that. But this is kind of like bullshit. It's like, really? A picture, a digital photograph of, huh?
Yeah, I guess no one's been to Instagram where the entire platform is built on stealing other people's photos.
Yeah.
Well, okay, that makes a little more sense to me.
I mean, maybe somebody else can explain it better, but that's how I understood it, was like, why would anybody fall for this shit?
Yeah.
Oh, and pay more than, you know, $1.50, you know, for, I'll pay $1.50 for that Superman 1. It's like, if I had Superman 1, I'd be selling that for $1 million, the hard copy, at Sotheby's, you know what I mean?
I feel so bad for people who are just now learning the internet and trying to navigate what all of this shit is. I've been doing this since 1997. I've been on the internet.
Same here. 96 for me.
Yeah.
I just, the whole crypto thing has seemed like a Ponzi scheme from the very beginning to me. It just all sounded like a fucking game.
Mm-hmm. What it is, it's a way for my old Nick sort of explained it to me years ago. Basically, it's the amount of digital code that it takes for one, and then you can exchange that for goods and services. Basically, it's like having a dollar and you exchange it for goods and services. And then each Bitcoin is worth whatever it is on the market right now. And they're worth a lot of money. Plus, you can hide money that way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for the longest time, you could get away with not declaring it because it wasn't real income. But now the IRS is savvy to it. And I think
no, we're not going to let you get away with that.
Right. Absolutely. Okay, now more crap. All right, so Russia is about to pull a false flag operation in Ukraine, apparently. Joe Biden told reporters this morning, doing a chopper talk for some reason. I guess this is now a thing.
Blame Brian Karam, right? Isn't that who we're supposed to blame?
For chopper talk? I don't know.
I think he was the first one to ask Trump that chopper talk question, so he's taking the blame.
Well, so it was Joe Biden yelling over the sound of Marine One, but he told reporters this morning that, quote, we have reason to believe that Russia is engaged in a false flag operation to have an excuse to go into Ukraine, and that Biden's sense is it will happen in the next several days. That's terrifying.
The Ukrainians are not having it.
No, they're not. They have an army. They will not stand for this. And there's a lot of people, and according to Malcolm Nance, they have a substantial army. They've already been fighting in parts of Ukraine anyway.
Yeah.
And did you hear about the kindergarten that was apparently attacked by some Russian people?
No.
That was this morning. I saw it. And apparently it was Russian operatives doing it in order to provoke the Ukrainians. But it didn't. Nobody got hurt. The building was, somewhat destroyed, but nobody got hurt, which was good.
Yeah.
So I think what's happening is when the U.S. a couple of weeks ago said, hey, they were going to do this video of Ukrainians attacking Russia in order to justify, this is starting. The U.S. is starting to go, no, whatever you think you see, you're not seeing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's psyops back and forth. And Joe Biden coming out the other day and telling the Russian people, which they heard somehow, because, people in Russia will hear what we're doing even if they're not supposed to, saying, look, we like y'all. It's Putin and the oligarchs that we don't want to fight. We don't want to go to war, which we don't.
Yeah.
But, weapons could fall off trucks, right outside the border, it's easy to get them the weapons, which is what Russia does. None of us wants a nuclear war, but that could happen.
Oh, good. Well, thanks for that analysis, Jody.
Hey, I lived in L.A. and we did drop drills up until 1975 because of nuclear war of Vietnam.
Oh, we did that too. I grew up in the D.C. area, so of course we were.
Yeah, I mean, I remember air raid sirens going off, the first air raid siren I heard after that.
Yeah.
I was in Colorado and I was like, what is it, bombs falling? And so everybody goes, it's a tornado warning. I'm like, oh, that's what that is. Yeah, I'm not used to that sound other than nuclear war.
Yeah, we had those too.
I grew up next to Fort Benning, which is the largest largest infantry installation in the Western Hemisphere. Mm-hmm. So we didn't even practice. We knew that we were going to be vaporized instantly. So
yeah, I think they just did it for us kids going, you'll be okay under your desk. It'll be fine.
Big takeaway is, it's amazing we're all still alive.
No shit. Yeah. I mean, we actually did have a bomb shelter at our campus in grade school.
Oh, my God.
Real nuclear bomb shelter. But it was like, it was a music room. And so only a certain amount of people could have fit in there. The entire campus could not have fit in there.
Oh, yeah. The dentist I used to go to was right on the other side of the highway from the Pentagon. And so in this hallway where you would go to the dentist office, it was also a fallout shelter area where you'd see those signs on the wall with the nuclear symbol and everything.
Oh, yeah. The yellow and black symbol that's there. Yeah.
Remember it distinctly. All right. One last quick break. Back with more show after this.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax. The way car buying should be.
Bob Seska plays more music.
The pain is covered over. All those years now, just another color. you still see them. Your memories as selective as they come.
Yeah, best music played on this show.
And I don't want to fall down. This rabbit hole you found.
This is Logan Piercy.
Buried beneath that yellow house.
A song called, a single called Yellow House. LoganPiercy.com. That's Piercy with two E's.
If you stare too long, you stare right back.
Don't leave out that extra E. P-I-E-R-C-E-Y. Link in the description so you don't have to spell it under this episode of BobSeska.com.
Let me hear this. You're just talking all over it. I'm trying to hear these harmonies.
Well, you know what? We are
gorgeous.
Doing
this. This has been a great show for music today.
Yeah. Both well, we are.
A plus.
We are doing a talk show, David. And
I know, but the
idea is to give you a little bit of the song so you go and download it instead of getting it for free here. Okay. Anyway, so digging back into things here, we have a tweet of the day from David Frum. David Frum writes,
yeah, he had a good one today.
If you're comparing Justin Trudeau to Adolf Hitler, well, congratulations to you on leading a life so safe, so pleasant, with such abundant meals and comfortable beds that you have lost the ability even to imagine what fear, persecution, suffering, and pain would feel like.
Yep.
They're
good for him.
Conservatives, but once in a while they get it right, and that's exactly right.
How hard is it to understand Nazism versus I don't know trying to save people's lives by masking and vaccinating?
Yeah, or
I mean, what are they fucking thinking? It's like no Nazis tried to kill people.
Yeah,
I mean, picture being in a room with like speed freak, narcissistic, monomaniacal Adolf Hitler, or laid back, incredibly handsome, very clearly a kind person, Justin Trudeau.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just objectively, like, you idiots.
Yeah.
You fucking idiots.
Yep.
Crushing their heads. I'm crushing their heads.
All of them.
I crush your heads. A year ago today, Rush Limbaugh died. And Ronnie Jackson tweeted something.
I guess
he
picked up his first year sobriety medallion.
Ronnie Jackson tweeted today about how great a broadcaster Rush Limbaugh was. And I said, you know, saying Rush Limbaugh is a great broadcaster is like saying Hitler was a snappy dresser. It's kind of irrelevant.
Yeah.
Hitler was a vegetarian.
Exactly right.
COVID's an interesting organism.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
it's not a virtue when you use it for evil. Okay.
Exactly.
So, yeah, Rush Limbaugh knew how to talk into a microphone, but that doesn't mean.
And the Deepwater Horizon was a decorator. You know? Like,
right. Right.
Shit, that's a good one. And a couple of derps of the week as we get close to wrapping up the show today. Janine Pirro. I don't know if you saw Janine Pirro on The Five the other day. And again, once again, Fox News is playing this game where they're now calling Justin Trudeau a dictator. Like, Canada is now a dictatorship because for once they invoked emergency powers in order to, you know, reopen that goddamn bridge in Ottawa that was being blocked by all these truckers. And oh my God, but now it's such a trespass against freedom and it's nonsense. Janine Pirro said Trudeau is now going to listen to Biden. Biden now has the final word on what you should do if someone is protesting peacefully. Biden, the same guy, and I should be doing a drunk voice for this because it is Janine.
Biden!
Biden, the same guy. The same guy that let all those people burn in Portland.
Biden, the same guy who in the summer of 2020 decided he would allow people to burn down streets. Mm-hmm. A couple of things with that last sentence. First of all, Joe Biden was not president in the summer of 2020. There was another guy who was president at that point of time.
Yeah.
My other question is, how the fuck do you burn down a street? That's my question. I don't understand. But of course, Janine Pirro is drunk. So
X-Men powers.
Yeah.
Cyclops. Like, so opens up his like visor thing and just like burns the street.
Yeah. But we all remember 2 years ago when President Joe Biden allowed protesters to burn down the street.
Because he was president then.
Then meantime, Eric Trump. We've got Eric Trump here with another.
My name's Eric.
Did you see the picture of them with the backpacks? And then, like, once again, they cannot stand, like, normal people. Like, what the hell is wrong with them? Everything they do is awkward.
Yeah, it is. It's like one of those many questions that I have about being a Trump. Like, why does Don Jr. wear earbuds when he's doing his guys videos? I'll never fucking understand that one.
Yeah, why would he need to?
He doesn't need to. But he does
that
anyway.
That makes no sense.
Yes, because he's fucking blitzed on cocaine.
Oh, maybe somebody feeding him his lines.
That's probably it, too. Eric Trump tweeted the other day, on Thursday, our team will be in front of a New York judge, that's today, outlining the blatantly unethical behavior of Tish James, the New York Attorney General. And he made sure to tag Tish James.
Oh, good for some reason. That's another dumb thing to do.
Got to make sure she sees it in her mentions, I guess. He says, there are 81 pages of videos.
Pages of videos. It's a picture book.
He thinks that he probably tries to turn the iPad, you know, like to see what's behind it. Like,
my theory is he's talking about a pop-up book. Because a pop-up book, you can actually animate the little characters in a pop-up book.
And
maybe he thinks that's video.
I'm looking forward to
the courtroom sketches of Eric Trump. That's what I'm looking forward to the most.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're
the ones of Donald Jr., because his eyes will be closed and he'll be kind of drooling.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to decide if Ivanka's going to bring her Birkin bag to the deposition.
Of course.
She's going to bring champagne popsicles.
Yes, that's right. Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Okay, so moving on here.
She speaks Spanish like Peggy Hill, you know?
That's true, yeah.
Los estudiantes son mis amigos.
Yoda thinks that's hilarious, too. Sorry, I'm loving that. Okay, so some serious news here, and this should be disturbing to anyone who's been observing the done with COVID bullshit. According to the latest study here, COVID patients are more likely to develop mental health issues. Mm-hmm. That's what we're learning now.
Donald Trump Sr., here's your proof right there.
Yeah.
One in three people who've been infected with COVID within the next 6 months develop a new medical symptom, a new problem, a new heart issue, a kidney issue, a lung issue. It is not over. It is not safe to get COVID. Nope. It is not, I mean, oh, for fuck's sake, people. Yeah. I just.
Well, what the United States needs more of are mental health issues. See also airplanes and shopping malls and grocery stores. Yeah, people are very well adjusted now already. And we're going to add
more. Let's go, Darwin.
Yeah. The study, which was published in the BMJ Medical Journal, looked at millions of health records and found that COVID-19 patients were at increased risk for concerns like anxiety, depression, substance abuse, and cognitive impairment. Specifically, the study showed that people who had COVID-19 were 39% more likely to be diagnosed with depression, 35% more likely to be diagnosed with anxiety. They were also 38% more likely to have stress and adjustment disorders and 41% more likely to have sleeping disorders. Yeah. Researchers targeted nearly 154,000 people in the Department of Veterans Affairs who got COVID-19 between March 2020 and January 2021 and followed them for a year. That group was compared to a group of 5 million people who did not contract COVID-19 but lived under the same pandemic conditions, including lockdowns, closures, financial concerns, and general loneliness. So yeah, I've been thinking about this over the last couple of days, discussed it with John Fugelsang on his show last night. Denmark also is one of these countries that a lot of people who want to end the mandates, pointing to Denmark and say, well, look at Denmark. Denmark's doing it. Denmark is, in fact, ending all of their COVID mandates, and I think they're doing it permanently. They're not going to re-implement them. The booster rate, however, in Denmark, 62% boosted. In Denmark. The United States also ending all COVID mandates at this current point. Our booster rate, I just checked it on the New York Times website today, 28%.
Yeah. I can't wait for my fourth shot. I'm ready for my fourth shot because I'm 6 months out in April for my third shot. So I'm ready.
You're part of a teeny tiny minority, Jody.
And I'm also part of a teeny tiny minority that's never gotten COVID.
Exactly right. Same here.
Same.
We're, you know,
all three
I
of
mean,
us have somehow met. But I'm like, Ben and I, we're not eating in restaurants. We eat at home. We like.
Lonnie's
I'm
traveled like, twice.
Yeah.
And he even said, even when COVID is, you know, more manageable than it is, when it's more like the flu, whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to wear a mask on planes anyway. He goes, cause up until the past 2 years, because having to wear a mask, he goes, I'm not coming home sick anymore.
Yeah, well, he's going to have to deal with people proselytizing about the fact that he's wearing a mask. Like, wow, well, oh my God, you're wearing like the person who yelled at you on the street the other day. You know?
Well, what I think will happen, a lot of people I know are not going to stop wearing masks on planes because it's just smart.
Right.
But if somebody says, why are you wearing a mask? Well, I have a really, really bad cold. Do you want me to breathe on you?
Yeah.
You still gotta start. Just tell them I've tested positive for COVID.
Yeah, I have COVID. Do you want me to give it to you?
Yeah. And then just do one of these.
No, there was a lady really like way too close to me at the grocery store months ago. This is pre like vaccination. And I was like, ma'am, I just got diagnosed positive for COVID. You might want to back up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good idea.
She jumped like she was on fire.
As it should be. So our booster
I just had a friend post something about, you know, it's my body, my choice, and it should be over and da-da-da. It's like, no, it's not. This is an airborne fucking disease. If it were HIV, harder to get. If it were hepatitis C, harder to get. You can be out in the public and not give anybody those diseases. But I'm sorry, but if you've got fucking COVID and you're not vaccinated or masking up and you haven't done either of those things, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
Exactly.
I didn't say that to him because I don't want to get into a fight.
Yeah,
but it's like, fuck you.
We're stupidly making COVID policy now based on wishful thinking and fucking make-believe. It's certainly not based on our booster rate. It's certainly not because we're doing the work to deserve lifting the mandates because we're still, this goes back to April of last year. The people who were vaccinated with J&J last year, like last April,
right.
They've got to be listed among the unvaxxed now.
Absolutely.
Some of the people who got the two shots last year are probably the equivalent of being unvaxxed at this point, if they're not
really
boosted.
Close to it. Yeah, really, really. That's why I want my fourth shot in April, because I'll be 6 months out of my booster.
Yeah.
I want that. Give me the shot.
So, I mean, other than...
Give my daughter the shot!
She just had to wait till 10, and it's past 10. Give her the shot!
So, I mean, we're at this point now where... There are vastly more people who are unvaccinated than we think because they got vaccinated. But
it's going to be another variant.
Yeah.
There'll be more variants, folks. They're coming. And I just, I think anybody that works with the public, like me, like having to deal with people coming into the bakery and stuff and deal, you know, like it's going to be masks forever.
Yeah, I know.
We're just, I mean, because like just even like the job that I do, just going from restaurant to restaurant, if, you know, delivering bread, if I was carrying COVID, I would just, it would be like a golden opportunity for me to be a super spreader. Like,
yeah.
Just,
right.
Well, I mean, all we can do now is exactly what you guys are doing, which is to just keep masking, keep up your booster regimen and all the rest of it, because obviously... Everyone else is just like, well, I'm just so done with it. So I'm going to la, la, la.
I'm
done with having high blood pressure.
Yeah.
La, 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 la. I am listening. La, 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 la.
I love that.
Kimberly sent me a San Francisco Chronicle piece here just while we were doing the show. It says, an Omicron subvariant known as BA2, we've been talking about that on the show over the last couple of weeks, is displacing the original strain around the world, WHO officials said on Wednesday. Its global spread appears to be steadily increasing.
Yeah.
And my hope was that because of the massive amount of people who got Omicron over this past winter, and then you combine in the people who are fully vaccinated, including boosters, that we may have some form of herd immunity coming up.
Nope.
Nope, I don't think that's going to
only for a couple months
work out. Yeah,
and then you can get it again.
Yeah.
Well, I know that Pfizer is trying to have an Omicron specific booster ready in the next month or so, and perhaps that will help against the Omicron subvariant. At least there's some sort of fight against that.
Yeah.
Like the boosters were helping against Omicron original strain, like original Coke. I mean, hopefully their booster will be available and that will help with the subvariant. But I'm so sick and tired of people that are obstinate about not getting vaccinated and saying, well, it's my choice. Then you can't be in polite society. Yeah. Sorry, you're just not allowed outside.
Well, what's driving me nuts is everyone saying that, well, you know what? Guess what? We're all going to get it now. It's done. We're all going to end up with COVID. That means we're all going to have a 1 in 4 chance of having serious mental health problems.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. And that's just the beginning. That's after we risk maybe losing our job because we can't go
into
work.
And a 1 in 3 chance of long COVID.
Yeah.
That really debilitates you, like my friend.
And I'm pretty sure, my gut is telling me that years down the road, we're going to find out that it also completely depleted some crucial amino acid in your brain that you needed to avoid early onset dementia.
Yeah. It's still so soon. Like, it's still so early. Like, yeah. We just don't know. We have no complete answers to any of this. So I think the most prudent thing is to err on the side of caution. I don't know why this became the crazy thing to do. The erring on the side of prudence in the face of this. So I guess what we're going to all have to do is we're going to have to figure out our own way through it while the rest of the world goes, la, 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 la. You know what I mean? And to pray that we don't end up with it and pray that we're not the 1 in 4, you know, or 4 in 10 or the 3 in 10 people who are getting mental health issues and all the rest of it. So, there's where we are. Hey, happy news. Happy news to end the show today. So coming up on the shadow docket. This is actually good news. A proposal in California that has to do with a new set of rights for cats and dogs. We're going to talk about that. Plus maybe some polling information. Great news about HIV. We hinted on this on Tuesday's show a little bit. What Eric Trump would ask Jesus.
Oh.
This is a question that Candace Owens asked Eric Trump
the other
day.
Who's my real daddy?
Oh, my God. It's all coming up on the Shadow Docket program on our Patreon page, BobSeskaShow.com. Get your ass over there. Sign up for $5 a month and enjoy all the bonus content. Enjoy our wonderful community of listeners over there and supporters in the comments and so on. All right, folks, have a great weekend. See you on the after party tomorrow. Ask us anything happening. Take care. Bye-bye.